You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Tuesday, July 5th. It is time for the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Our guest pastor joining us by phone today, Pastor Thane Kister of Trinity Lutheran Church in Bellingham, Minnesota, as well as Trinity in Odessa, Minnesota, and Grace in Correll, Minnesota. Pastor Kister, welcome.
Thanks a lot, Andy.
Looking forward to studying God's Word with you this morning. Tell us about your congregations, Trinity, and Grace.
Yes, a tri-parish, been active for 2.5 years now, doing lots of things with support of full-time and part-time missionaries, support of local food shelves, a vacation Bible school at Trinity Bellingham here, which involves quite a bit of community participation. The Ladies' Aid as well as LWML is very active at all three congregations. And then we do a mission festival jointly every year, and also other services combined together as much as we can. So their great stewardship here at the Tri-Parish makes many little things that make a big difference.
Where would we find Bellingham, Odessa? Is it Correll?
Correct. Mm-hmm. In the western edge of Minnesota, just right, we are actually just not far east of the South Dakota border. So we are right along the western edge of Minnesota, and very rural congregations that are 90% supported by farmers, and there's always something to do, always a time to listen to the things that God has done, and also how we can take stock and how he's revealed himself to us continually.
Well, thanks be to God that that the word of God is being proclaimed in Bellingham and Odessa and Correll, Minnesota, there through Trinity Lutheran Church and Trinity Lutheran Church and Grace Lutheran Church. And Pastor, what would you like for us to know as we prepare to study this Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 25 today?
The basic context really is there's, you know, we've seen many tremendous happenings going on throughout the book of Acts in the first 11 chapters, and they continue on, I think, all the more so through how God has revealed himself, helping us realize how he has rescued us through Christ, the Son of Man, and how all things are possible through him as we see how he divinely intercedes for Peter today.
All right. Acts chapter 12 is where we are today. We're studying God's Word with Pastor Thane Kister of Trinity Lutheran Church in Bellingham, Minnesota, Trinity in Odessa, Minnesota, and Grace in Correll, Minnesota. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850. 1-800-730-2727 is the toll-free number in North America. Or you can email us. You can email us at KFUO.org. Let's take a look. Acts chapter 12, beginning at the first verse. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, and when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. So we have some history here. About that time, Herod laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church, killed James, and put Peter in prison.
Yes, this is the second time we hear of an apostle being martyred in the book of Acts. The first time being Stephen in Acts 7, and yeah, it's the grim reality of being an apostle of the Lord in the midst of evil leadership. Here we see Herod Agrippa I, I believe, is what who is in rule at the time, the fourth in succession from Herod the Great, Herod Archelaus, Herod Antipas, and nothing has changed with regarding to his leadership as it appears from the beginning here.
So it pleased the Jews when he killed James, the brother of John, and so he proceeded to arrest Peter as well because, well, it pleased the Jews.
Yeah, those who crucified Jesus, those who condemned Jesus to death, are the same ones condemning James and as well as it looks to be Peter here. And, you know, it's interesting, in Acts chapter 4, there's a prayer that actually that Peter does pray about, and now, Lord, look upon their threats, those who crucify Jesus, and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and the signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. So, yeah, they're on the same, the Jews are on the same plain as Herod, wanting to see the apostles put to death one after another.
So Peter's put in prison. This is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So this is the Passover, right?
Well, it's right after Passover. You know, it's Passover going for roughly 14 days, and then the 7 days following that is the Days of Unleavened Bread. So that'd be the time frame what we're dealing with here, as there's a feast throughout the Old Testament that have continued on, and you know, as the Gospels being spread, those practices being making their fulfillment in Christ, and seeing the things that that God has done through His means of grace, we hear of this festival, that ends with a martyr, ends with a martyrdom here. It's a rude awakening for Peter to be thrown in prison again. I guess, you know, there was the first time in Acts chapter 5 where I think most all of the apostles were imprisoned for the sake of the gospel as well. So that Peter is not strange to being imprisoned.
And while he's in prison, the prayer was made for him to God by the church.
Yes. Yeah, and earnestly so. Yeah, that people were, you know, I can just, in a underground situation, praying for Peter to, you know, we don't know exactly what the prayer is, but obviously we know that we want Peter out to preach the gospel. We want him out to witness that hand that is healed and saved continually among God's people, and that the holy name of Jesus be spread, and that through his suffering, death, glorious resurrection would be known through the as men were carried along by the Holy Spirit to do so. So...
Verse 6, now when Herod was about to bring him out on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Dress yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and followed him and did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." So this is quite an event. He's in prison. Herod was about to bring him out on that very night. Peter asleep. The chains, an angel comes and his chains fall off. Man, all kinds of unusual things happening.
Yeah, the theme of the grace of God here is making himself known through the angel. And, you know, first of all, just to look at how the angel appears to him standing next to him, and the light shone in the cell itself. So a light, meaning the revelation of God's mystery through this angel that stands next to Peter, and not in an ordinary way does he get Peter up. He strikes him on the side, and it's not a pat on the shoulder type of angel here for Peter. It is one that wants to deliver him out of prison, and will certainly do so. And it's interesting too that Acts mentions, that Luke mentions in Acts about the angel being real. You know, that he not had seen a vision, and that like he had seen before in Acts chapter 10, and where the sheet descending and so forth, ordering Peter to go to Cornelius's house. But we see that this angel is real, divine revelation coming to him firsthand, that all things are possible for him in the manner of God's grace. And I think it's, and we see firsthand how personally this angel comes to him, and how personally God comes to us when we are imprisoned by our sin, and that he can deliver and save in any situation that we find ourselves in. And obviously the situation that Peter is in is quite dire, as soon enough he may suffer, was going to suffer the same fate as what James did.
So an angel of the Lord stood next to him, a light shone in the cell, he struck Peter on the side, woke him, saying, "Get up quickly," and the chains fell off. The angel said to him, "Dress yourself, put on your sandals," and he did so. "Wrap your cloak around you." He went out, followed him, and he didn't know what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. He thought he was maybe having a dream.
Yeah, it appears he does seem like he's having a dream. Or, you know, as mentioned before in the book of Acts about falling into a trance. But this is, but thought he saw a vision. We think of the chains themselves loosening themselves, and the instructions that followed are nothing of the ordinary sort. So these definite tangible things of chains falling off and instructions given, it's got to say something about. What more the angel is doing for Peter.
So when they had passed the first guard and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord. They went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting."
Yes, the Jewish people expecting Peter's death, not so. It does take a little bit of time here for Peter to realize what's going on, but the angel has shown him God's rich mercy and grace that in the midst of imprisonment, you know, the imprisonment that that Peter finds himself in is, you know, purely for the sake of the gospel, and obviously the angel, God's intercession through the angel, would not let that happen. And you know, sometimes I think there's another theme of, we don't like to use. We don't like to use, or we don't hear the use of the word sovereignty of God, and among Lutherans very much. But there's, but you know, we. But later on, we're going to see that a little bit more too, how God is is going to handle all things in his good time, as to forgive sin, to baptize, to preach and teach, receive the sacrament of the altar through God's kingdom of grace and glory as well. But God's power belonging to himself and God's glory belonging to him who alone is king, whom we seek help, alone have the power to grant our petitions as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, and as we recognize what he has done, we can rejoice that we can come to ourselves and say, well, God has really been among me and through Christ has accomplished to reveal himself to me and to restore and save, take me out of the jaws of death and set me on his clear way of salvation. As Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But this is a text that again, I think, the light to coming from the cell and everything, too. We can, there's instances of of the mercy and grace of God that come to rule over all evil. And as we look at the intercession of in verse 12.
Yeah, when he realized this. Yeah, we'll get to that. Let's take a quick break. And then we'll come back and we'll take a look at what happens in verse 12 and following. You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We're studying the Daily Lectionary with Pastor Thane Kister of Trinity Lutheran Church in Bellingham, Minnesota, Trinity in Odessa, Minnesota, and Grace in Correll, Minnesota. We'll be back in just a moment.
On America's college campuses, doors are open to sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. The number of international students studying at American schools has more than quadrupled over the past decade. For many of these young men and women, it's their first time living in a free society where they can ask questions about Christianity. You can help answer their questions. Go to lhfmissions.org and partner with the Lutheran Heritage Foundation to translate good Lutheran books into languages these students can read and understand. lhfmissions.org.
Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." Worldwide KFUO invites you to start and end your day with the Word of God and prayer, with morning prayer at 9 a.m. and evening prayer at 5 p.m. The broadcasts of morning prayer and evening prayer are underwritten by Lutherans for Life.
Weekdays on the Messenger of Good News, Worldwide KFUO.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We're studying the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Our guest pastor joining us by phone today, Pastor Thane Kister of Trinity Lutheran Church in Bellingham, Minnesota, Trinity Lutheran Church in Odessa, and Grace Lutheran Church in Correll, Minnesota. We are in Acts chapter 12 and ready to pick up at verse 12. When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. And when he knocked at the door of the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. Recognizing Peter's voice, in her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. They said to her, "You are out of your mind." But she kept insisting that it was so. And they kept saying, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened, they saw him and were amazed. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Tell these things to James and to the brothers." Then he departed and went to another place. So he realized this. He went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, and there were many gathered there. They weren't quite expecting him, were they?
No, they weren't. The servant girl Rhoda is the one to help them to realize that this is truly Peter. that has been released from prison and that has been redeemed, as we could say, from the clutches of Herod.
So he shows up there. When he knocked at the door of the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer, recognizing his voice. She was so excited and so full of joy. She didn't open the gate, but ran in and reported that he was standing at the gate. And they said, "Oh, you're out of your mind. You're crazy."
Right, right. Yeah, this is something that the joy of this servant girl is kind of reminiscent of at the tomb, where after Jesus was resurrected, it isn't until Jesus says her name that she realizes it is Jesus. Well, so this girl doesn't. She recognizes Peter's voice, so in her joy, she becomes God's messenger. Tell them that, tell the rest of the people who are praying here that truly it is Peter in the flesh and not simply his angel. Yeah.
So she kept insisting that it was, so they kept saying it is his angel. That's interesting. It is his angel. Why would they say that?
Angels are among us to guard and protect us as God's guardians of against evil, and so nonetheless the people expected to hear news about Peter's death. I mean, much like they heard of James's martyrdom, they maybe thought, well, maybe this is, that all the things that have happened to Peter thus far, how long is it going to last for Peter to keep going and the rest of the apostles keep proclaiming the gospel? How long, Lord? Can this go on as their prayers are searching for an answer? That how long does this evil reign of Herod must continue? How long does this tyranny going to oppress God's word? But it wasn't doing a very good job so far. The oppression of God's word was going to be known and was going to happen, even though evil and through evil men, through Jesus' crucifixion and his resurrection, there's no way that God's word can be oppressed in the face of evil.
But Peter continued knocking. When they opened, they saw him and were amazed. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison and said, "Tell these things to James and to the brothers." Then he departed and went to another place.
Yeah, we wanted to, it's kind of interesting that Peter motions with his hand for them to be silent. Don't let the proclamation reach too far, because we don't want the soldiers to come find me again. in the way of God's mercy and grace, is also his promise for it to continue, and to continue in a wise way in the face of evil, and in a way that is winsome to allow things to happen as God would will them to do. But pass the word along, though. Is quietly. That's what Peter is saying, in a way that is going to be received, that, this has happened again, that I've been released from prison. This is tell these things to James and the brothers, that that even though we were imprisoned once before, it has happened again, and obviously they're going to that God has been faithful again to deliver from evil.
Now, when day came, verse 18, there was no little disturbance among the soldiers over what had become of Peter. And after Herod searched for him and did not find him, he examined the sentries and ordered they should be put to death. Then he went down from Judea to Caesarea and spent time there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so the way of Peter helping this to be kept, you know, the church being at the time being an underground situation underneath Herod, that that Peter was in a, well, he was in a, we don't know where exactly, who went to in another place, but it was another place where Herod could not find him. So yeah, it's obvious that this family whom Peter knocked on the door at, there's obviously other families of the church that were interceding in that same way for the apostles to be protected by God's divine acts of rescue, that Herod's tyranny and rule is going to go to no end, even killing his own men to fine the apostles, punishment till no end. That he would be recognized as king, and that he would be recognized as ruler, and not God nor his servants. But nonetheless, Herod is continuing to search even from Judea to Caesarea, spending time even there. When will the reign of Herod and his sons end? Is once again the answer that we're all looking for.
And we see that here now in verse 20. Anything else before we go on to the last section, verses 20 through 25?
I don't think so.
All right. Now, Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they came to him with one accord, and having persuaded Blastus, the king's chamberlain, they asked for peace because their country depended on the king's country for food. On an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took his seat upon the throne, and delivered an oration to them. And the people were shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man." Immediately an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. But the word of God increased and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had completed their service, bringing with them John, whose other name was Mark. So Herod, angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, came to him with one accord, persuading the king's chamberlain, Blastus, say, ask for peace because their country depended on the king's country for food. All about the politics, right?
Yeah, exactly. They are looking to Herod here, and you know, because of Herod's place was his rule of the area, and everything was something that They saw it in high demand, and yeah, it. But could Herod give them peace? You know, obviously, no. It's not something that under a leadership like Herod's, it's all for himself. So how could the people of the area under the rule of Herod coming to him have anything of their own needs fulfilled? There's a instance of, okay, there's a problem with the leadership here. There's a problem with being a ruler that's going to help God's people or help the people in general, regardless if they're God's people or not, but just under the vocation of serving and the vocation of serving in the midst of need. There is, well, obviously we saw it in the Old Testament under Pharaoh. We saw the same type of tyrannical leadership. And this is no different in this instance as well. So there evidently was some type of, there's evidently some type, I think, before in Acts as well. It talks about and speaks of a famine or the need for food too. And this is, and this peace that also that they're searching for is not to be found.
On an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took his seat upon the throne, delivered an oration to them. He got up and got all dressed up and did his royal thing, his royal duties, and delivered an oration, delivered a speech to them.
Yeah, this speech is obviously they're in great need here. They're in great need to have peace, to have some type of understanding of what Herod is doing, and nonetheless, his oration is going to, tell them what they want to hear. You know, that type of oration. I'll tell them what, they'll be blessed by my own devices, whatever they might be. to obey me and me only, obviously, is what Herod and all of his predecessors were continually trying to ingrain in power that only belongs to God alone. Like I mentioned earlier about the sovereignty of God. You know, it's obviously that Herod himself is wanting to be sovereign and in the eyes of and do what is right in his own eyes, as the evil Old Testament kings would hear about as well.
And so what happens? The people were shouting, "The voice of a God and not of a man." Immediately an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. Wow.
Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, this definitely is the hand of God that all foreign powers, all powers themselves, you know, cannot compare to the true God. And this is this struggle of evil leadership and God's mercy against each other constantly. In the end, all things are possible with God. Where Herod did not give God the glory, he got what he deserved. He got God's judgment, and because of his sin, and this, I think this is evident for even our country today to see that God's judgment will happen historically, as we've seen, because of our nation's sin, because of our need to repent and believe the gospel, as Peter mentioned earlier on in Acts chapter 2 as well. But yeah, so Herod is dead, and judgment is upon him. But nonetheless, the word of God increased and multiplied.
Right, verse 24, the word of God increased and multiplied. This doesn't stop the word of God.
Does not stop the word of God, yeah. Mm-hmm. Peter's situation, I think, is a perfect example of being helpless in the face of evil. You know, how much he needed God's divine rescue and intercession as he received it from the prayers of the church. And as we hear the prayers of the church every Sunday, We hear the prayers that are needed for God's servants, God's people, for his word to continue to have free course, and that it may not be bound. And that in the same instance that we not be, that no one may be bound by their sin, but that all people may come to the knowledge of God's truth, that Christ, the Son of Man and Son of God, has forgiven us of our sin, even put himself in our place through his death, and taken on our death. And so therefore it increases and multiplies as Peter's original Pentecost sermon accomplished.
And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had completed their service, bringing with them John, whose other name was Mark. Just under a minute here, Pastor.
This return of Barnabas and Saul as they were coming from Jerusalem is, I think a mark of peace here that they were even able to return. I think at the same time they were able to come back together again as apostles, even in the midst of James's death, that there was relief because of God, because of the tyranny of Herod being put down, and that by God's divine intercession of his angel to deliver Peter from the hand of Herod. And it's nothing different from what we hear from the Old Testament as well about God's people being delivered from Sennacherib's army. In Isaiah chapter 37, there is a Satan's army is great, but cannot be compared to even one angel of God's army. Their return from Jerusalem, marking, well done, thou good and faithful servant, as we hear about the servants of God, the apostles of the Lord, coming together again to remind us of God's mercy.
Looking over the text as a whole, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn from this text in Acts chapter 12 today?
Well, one thing is to, the false view of the sovereignty of God. I better get these things off God's back so that I can receive his blessing. I better pull myself up by my own bootstraps so God can do his gracious work. No, this is God's gracious work, to handle all things in his good time, to forgive sin, to baptize, to preach, teach, receive the sacrament of the altar. Through God's kingdom of grace, he has come to us that we may have peace continually, and that his kingdom may be extended, as his word shall not be bound, but have free course.
Amen. We've been studying the Daily Lectionary with Pastor Thane Kister of Trinity Lutheran Church in Bellingham, Minnesota. Pastor Kister, thanks for being our guest pastor today, and God bless you and all the saints at Trinity in Odessa, Trinity in Bellingham, and Grace in Correll, Minnesota.
Greatly appreciate it, Andy.
Coming up in just a little bit, sacred music to sanctify your morning. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.